that possible?
Yeah, is it possible to get over the fault-finding tendency? Well, firstly, every tendency has a black and a white side. So, sometimes some standards have to be maintained. And for that, if somebody is not doing the right thing, noting the fault is not a problem. This is how it should be done, but this is how it is being done. That's okay. But when we talk about a fault-finding tendency, that means we tend to see the fault first and we tend to see the fault the most. As I said, we reduce the person down to the fault. So, if at all somebody has a very strong fault-finding tendency, we could use that fault-finding tendency to find faults with the fault-finding tendency itself. Everything can be used in devotional service. So, we can use it, use the fault-finding tendency to find faults with the fault-finding tendency. What does that mean? That means, the one thing is, that see, everybody has faults. I was once doing a program, a workshop with devotees, and then I was talking about tolerance. So, I said, when you're practicing spiritual life, you have to tolerate many things. So, what all the things you have to tolerate? So, one devotee raised his hand. He said, yes. He said, we have to tolerate devotees. We have to tolerate devotees. I said, yes. That's a good realization. And if you are trying to practice spiritual life, we have to tolerate each other because all of us have defects. But as we grow spiritually, we will realize that devotees are tolerating us. It's not that we are tolerating others, others are also tolerating us. That's how it is. So in general, if we consider the fact that all of us have faults, and different people may have different faults. So how would we feel if somebody keeps finding faults within us? We are all here as volunteers. And if somebody finds faults too much, we just become discouraged and we go away. So the most important thing that is required for anyone to persevere on the spiritual path is encouragement. It's encouragement, appreciation, kind words. And if we find faults, basically we dishearten people. And people just go away. And then what is the use of that? So, you know, sometimes it might be that a person is already burdened by 10, 15 things that have gone wrong in their lives. And one small fault that we find in them, that might like become like an unbearable burden for them. So, fault finding doesn't really help. In the sense that, fault finding simply alienates and disheartens people. Now, if at all we have to find faults, in the sense that we have to follow certain standards and somebody is not following them, then we have to do it in a very sensitive way. See, one of the best parameters for understanding whether we have the adhikar, whether we have the right to find fault, is to check our own reaction to it. If we get joy in finding faults, then that means we are not purely motivated. That means even if we speak politely, something in our tone will come out and that will alienate the other person. So the person who can find fault is the person who gets no joy in finding fault. The purpose is simply to help the other person. Now if you go on this path, then it's going to hurt you, it's going to hurt others also. So if we don't get any joy in finding faults, then it's likely that at least at a subconscious level, when people are finding faults, you can almost see a glee on their face. Yeah, I caught you. And it's very alienating when it is like that. So that's the second thing. When at all we have to find fault, we should get no pleasure in it. And thirdly, we have to find our tendency is, as soon as we notice a fault, is speak it at that point. But sometimes that may not be the right time to speak it. In general, first of all, the soul is here, the particular deficient behavior is here. So we may have to evaluate the behavior, but we need to validate the person first. That means this is not a rejection of you. This is not a judgment about you. This is about this. So only in a relationship where there is some trust, there is some understanding that the other person is my well-wisher, when the other person feels validated, by our overall conduct in that relationship, then even if they feel evaluated at some other aspect, they won't get carried. They won't feel too bad about it. So in general, if our interactions with others have to be there, the appreciation needs to be more than the criticism, than the fault finding. Sometimes what happens is that we have a lot of appreciation in our heart, but we don't speak that at all. And the only thing we speak is false. And the only interaction that we have is someone, hey, you didn't do this. Why did you do like this? Why did you forget this? Why did you do that? Then, and it's the relationship becomes very strained by that. So we need to appreciate genuinely. And then whether that appreciation and the person feels validated, then if we have to find some fault, that's okay at that time. Okay? Thank you. So how do we prevent the associative mode of the mind, where we have to have some functional opinion about the people, but that shouldn't carry over in other aspects? Yeah, I think I did an exercise. I was in Australia recently and we did a retreat over there. So we did one exercise among that was that let the first thought that you have about anyone be positive. This is actually a Vedic saying. It was one way of it. Let everyone be happy. That's one, sarva sukhina bhavantu, sarve jana sukhina bhavantu. But then another is that let my first thought about everyone be positive. And then, so the exercise that we had done was that the people about whom we tend to think negative, now write down at least 3 positive attributes about them. We'll have to sometimes struggle to find those attributes. But if we do it, we find that, and then keep that with us. And especially before we are going to interact with that person, sometimes we know some interactions are like walking into a minefield. Because already there is a history of tension. And before that, just try to look at those positive attributes. So at that time when the impulses are going very strong, the mind, as you said, in associative mode, at that time for our intelligence to work and to think about something else, it's difficult. But if our intelligence has already done the work, and then we keep the product of that work ready with us, then we can simply refer to the product of the work. That's easier. In general, we cannot be as perceptive in the mode of passion as we are in the mode of goodness. The mode of passion where we are running around doing things. Mode of goodness is when we are thoughtful. So when we are calm and thoughtful, we write down the good qualities of others. When we are running around and we are about to have some crucial conversations, high voltage conversations, high stake conversations, then before that, look at that. So at least that positive attitude thinking of those positive attributes of that person will bring some positivity into that interaction. And it's also good if we can talk with somebody who appreciates that person. In my interaction, this person has been so judgmental, this person has been so like this. But is there someone else? Sometimes we see that somebody likes so much. What do you see in that person? No, but maybe they are seeing something which we are not seeing. So it's very difficult for us to change our opinion ourselves. Now, I don't want to have this opinion about this. I don't want to be negative. But if our interactions have been negative, or our impressions from those interactions have been negative, it's very difficult to change it ourselves. But talking with somebody who has had more positive interaction with that person helps quite a bit. Thank you. Is there a question here? Yes, please.
What if a person's in an unfortunate situation?